Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. On the show today, I'm really excited. We have four very interesting segments. My first one, we're going to talk a bit about modern quilting. And then I have a design team on for the second one, the Youngs of Moda. They're a great design team, Moda designers. Then we have the American Patchwork and Quilting editors, and they're going to come on and talk a little bit about alternate fabrics in your quilts. And then we'll follow up the whole show with Neil Hoy and some stitchy talk, because she's a great stitcher. But to start out chatting a bit about modern quilting, I have Elizabeth Hartman here. She is an author and a quilt designer at the wildly popular blog O Franson. And Elizabeth's work is spectacular. It has a modern slant, but it's all very much based on, you know, regular patchwork, and that's what I really like about her things. And she has got a kind of a fun way of looking at it, and she has a brand new book out, so we're going to learn about that. Welcome to the show, Elizabeth.
Thank you so much for having me, and thank you for that nice introduction.
It's like, it's just so fun to go out and see what you're doing. I can't wait to see your updates on your website, because you always have something fun.
Well, thank you. I try to have interesting content.
Yeah. Well, you know, quilters like to have fun, and that's the main point. Let's talk about your newest book. I just love it, Modern Patchwork, and the tagline is 12 quilts to take you beyond the basics. What is the sort of the base of this book? You know, what are we going to learn in this book?
Well, when I was working on Modern Patchwork, I was really struck by the fact that most of the patterns that were out there for quilters who like to work in a modern style are very simplistic, and that's fine. It's an important part of modern quilt design, and certainly beginners need a lot of basic patterns, but I really felt like modern quilting could use some more complex patterns, and I think that a lot of the time modern quilting tends to be based on either the simplicity or you get into the pure improvisation, but there's not so much in terms of more complex piece patterns that still have a modern aesthetic. And so when I was working on the patterns for this book, that's what I was really focused on, is creating patterns that had some of the, it's not a terribly advanced book, but it does bring in some angles, some curves, just some different techniques that you don't always see in modern quilting patterns, but without going into just replicating traditional blocks. The patterns in the book are definitely unique, new patterns.
Right, they're kind of a step outside the norm, because you have an awesome plaid, and you have a sort of a unique diamond. I love that diamond.
Oh, yes, the fire drill one. I love that one too.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit about what, you know, your thought was when you were building the quilts to go in here as that stepping stone. Like let's say the diamond pattern. Why is that a good one for like a follow-up step?
Well, because I think that we work a lot, or modern quilters work a lot with squares, not so often with diamonds. And I think it's just an interesting alternate shape to deal with. Obviously there are different piecing challenges involved with diamonds, because you have to match up the angles and everything. And I think it's fun to play with different shapes and just see what kind of different looks you can get from them. But it's still, the fire drill quilt is still a very graphic, modern looking quilt. And it has that sort of diamond element, that 60 degree angle that's repeated on the back of the quilt as well in a different way.
Yeah, I this would be one that I would try, because I haven't really done a diamond quilt. So I mean, it's just got that sort of very fresh look to it. Let's talk about that, Elizabeth, because a lot of people have a hard time if they work more in a traditional patchwork, a traditional applique. They don't really know why something is called a modern quilt. Why is something usually put in that kind of light or category?
Well, modern quilting is, to me, it's a specific aesthetic. And so it's you know, it can mean different things to different people, but I definitely think of it as a particular look that quilts can have, a particular style that quilters can work in. And it's one that we often think of it as being inspired by modern art and architecture. It tends to be very graphic in look, a lot of bold shapes, a lot of contrast, and as opposed to conventional quilting that often focuses on having sort of a more varied, almost sort of watercolory effect with the colors. Modern quilting definitely gets into more having solids, having a lot of flat areas of color and a lot of bold contrast. And in terms of the composition, it's not always just the straight block-based composition. You have a lot of asymmetry and negative space, and not so much with the borders. Borders are something that modern quilters almost never use.
Yeah, I've noticed that too, is that, you know, right away, you know, the eliminating the border gives a quilt an entirely different look.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. And, you know, if people are interested in reading a little bit more about what modern quilters think modern quilting is, because like I said, you know, a lot of people have different opinions about it, but the Modern Quilt Guild, of which I'm a board member, actually has a really great article on its website. So it's themodernquiltguild.com, and in the sidebar there, there's just, you can click on the article, What is Modern Quilting, and that gets into it in a little bit more detail.
That's great, great information, and it's a wonderful website that you on the board have put together, because there's lots of good information, plus guilds and places people can go and meet others.
Oh, definitely, because we're actually working on our website is going to get a lot more user-friendly in the near future, but for right now, there are definitely some resources there, and like you mentioned, the guilds, because we have, it's spread so rapidly. We have guilds all over the United States now, and even in Canada, Europe, and Australia.
Yay! Fun stuff! Good stuff.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about quilt backs, because you and I have been discussing that, and you have a unique take on your backs, because besides just, they're not just a straight piece of fabric, but then you also take it several steps beyond just using up what you have to put on the back.
Sure. I love a pretty quilt back, and I really think of the quilt backs as sort of a secondary composition. So I don't, because I think I should back up to and mention that when I'm thinking about making a quilt, I'm almost always thinking about making a functional quilt that's going to have a life inside of a house where it gets used and moved around. And when you're using a quilt, you're not always just looking at it flat on the front. You're seeing it from a lot of angles, and you get to see the back. And so I think that, to me, the back is an important part of the composition, and it's a fun opportunity to sort of have those two sides so that you can see part of the back when you're, you know, if it's on your sofa and a little bit of the back is flipped over, and you can see that with the front. So I really like to play with the design on the back and maybe have something that complements the front or that's a little different from the front. I always do a pieced back.
Yeah, and in your book, you actually show the backs.
Oh, yes, in both of my books, but in particular in Modern Patchwork, the backs are very well-developed compositions, and there are complete instructions for piecing them as well as for piecing the fronts. Yes.
Yeah. Plus, not only that, you have a new online video about the quilt backs. Tell me about that.
I do at craftsy.com, which is a site that hosts video courses in general, but I had the opportunity to do a couple for them, and one of them is a free course where I talk about making backs, and I basically just go through sort of the basics of just the math for how to get all the layers correct so that you don't end up wasting fabric or not having enough. And then I just go through four of my favorite strategies for planning a quilt back and different things you can do with the design on the quilt back.
Yeah, it's a great video. You did a wonderful job. I watched it.
Oh, thanks.
So speaking of modern quilts and being on the board of the Modern Quilt Guild, your guild has a fabulous new show called Quilt Con coming up this winter or spring. Tell me about it.
Yes, we are very excited about it. Quilt Con is going to be in Austin, Texas in February 2013, and it is basically our guild, the Modern Quilt Guild's first big conference and show. So we're going to have all kinds of great workshops and lectures. We're going to have a vendor hall, And one thing I'm particularly excited about is we're going to have a big juried show that is all modern quilts. And I think that that's something that our membership is especially excited about, because there isn't, a lot of us have quilt shows that we could enter in sort of in our areas or at the established big quilting shows, but it's not always the same kind of work that we do. It's a lot more focused on traditional quilting or even on art quilting. And I think that it's, the qualities of modern quilting are different and aren't always appreciated by the judges at shows like that. And so we're really excited to have a juried show that really focuses on modern quilting, and it's all made out of modern quilts.
It's going to be really exciting to see what people submit to a competition. Yeah, because it always brings it up several levels to look at a quilt made specifically for competition.
Yeah, it's going to be really exciting. In fact, I have I haven't had a chance to see the quilts that have been submitted yet, but we have done a block challenge in connection with QuiltCon, and I was lucky enough to be the one that all the blocks were sent to for that, and people have just been doing amazing work. And that's actually something that people can see on the Modern Quilt Guild's blog right now. That's going to be going on for the next 4 weeks. I'm going to be posting sets of these blocks every day, and people just did some great work.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
And speaking of blogs, just because we have just a little short bit of time left, tell me about what you're doing with your book on your blog.
Oh, yes. So with Modern Patchwork, the book has 12 patterns in it, and I am really excited about them. I feel like I'm not finished with them. I want to revisit them again. So I'm going to go through during the next year and take one of the 12 patterns each month and just sort of rework it or make a different version of it on my blog. And that may be a different size of the quilt. It may be just a block from the quilt. But I'm going to provide some information as I do that that's sort of intended to be supplementary to the book. So if you have it and want to read a little bit more about maybe my process for selecting fabric or how to make one of the patterns in a different size, there's going to be a series of posts that's already going on and will be continuing for the next 11 months just about my going back through the book and making the quilts again.
Elizabeth, this has been fantastic. I can't wait to see what you're doing. Everybody should visit you at ofranson, ofranson.com.
Thank you so much.
We'll be right back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio after this short little break. I'm your host, Pat Sloan.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and I'd like to invite you to join me in making a pillowcase and making a difference. It's easy. Make and donate pillowcases in your local community. Use your favorite pattern or choose from one of the free patterns at allpeoplequilt.com. Whether you sew pillowcases with a group or by yourself, you can help someone less fortunate. You could donate them to a women's shelter, boys or girls club, homeless shelter, veterans home, or any other organization you know of in need. Once you donate the pillowcases, log on to allpeoplequilt.com. Click on the box in the upper right-hand corner for the 1 million pillowcase challenge and enter the number of pillowcases you created to our national tally. We know quilting changes everything, and we're out to show the world just how much quilters care. Please join the American Patchwork and Quilting 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge. We're counting on you.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. What I really, really love is being able to talk to design teams. It's always interesting for me to see how people work as a group instead of individually for designing, because I design by myself and so do a lot of people. But there are these groups out there. And the Lauren and Jesse Young design team consists of actually two sisters, Carrie and Lauren, and their mom, Jesse. They design fabric and patterns. Their fabric is with Moda, and their website, so that you can go take a look at it later, is Lauren and Jesse, JessiJungJung.com. So I have asked Carrie Young to come on and talk to me today about how they work together, what it's like to be a team, and a little bit about their fabric and the style. Now, you're going to have to join me in here because we had a little blip, and so we missed the very first little minute talking to Carrie, but we've got her on now.
My sister, or my mom, rather, does most of the quilt pattern design. She also has a big hand in designing the actual fabric prints as well. And then I'm the most organized out of everybody, so I'm the project manager, and I also like to talk. So I do a good bit of sales too.
You have to have somebody to do that, don't you, Carrie?
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yes. And I'm willing and happy to do it. So yeah.
Yeah, exciting. You know, I love the layout of your website, too, which is Lauren and Jesse with an I, JUNG.com. So people can go there and see all your fabric lines and patterns and things like that. But I want you to tell me a little bit about why you decided to design fabric and what that very first design experience was, because you have a hilarious story.
Right. Well, I mean, it was a fun and exciting experience to begin with. It started out, my sister had graduated from art school, and she was up at my mom's house one day. They were looking at my mom's fabric stash, and I think it was a tulip pink print, and she really liked it and thought, you know, I have some good design experience and good know-how, and my mom can quilt and knows what quilters need out of a good quilt print. So they decided, you know, we're going to join forces and make this happen. And so they started drawing and designing. And before you knew it, they had a whole line, a sample line that they had put together, and we're going to start sending off. So put a ton of effort into the presentation. I mean, computer renderings, my sister hand-bound this book for the samples, and they sent it off to Moda. And Cheryl Friedberg, the design director, called us back and said, is this Lauren? I think I have the right number. And she was like, well, yeah, why? And she said, oh, I'm so glad I caught you guys because, you know, we saw that you were Lauren and Jesse Young, but I didn't see any way of getting in contact with you guys again. No. We had forgotten to put our phone number, address, anything. So luckily, FedEx had saved the day. We had an account that we sent it with, and they had our contact number. So, yeah, luckily they found us. So
your princess moment almost didn't happen.
I know. Yeah, how about that? One little oversight, right?
Yeah. But oh my gosh! Well, you know that makes the best stories. You know, any big event, you got to have a story to go with it. Oh my gosh! Well, I'm glad that Moda was so diligent to hunt down the number for you guys. Oh my gosh. So tell me about, you know, what states do you live in, and how does that, you know, do you ever get together and actually work on things in the same room?
We do actually, quite a bit, or more than you'd think anyway. So my mom lives in Spartanburg, South Carolina. I live in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And then my sister just moved out to San Francisco. So we're a good 1,000 miles apart each. But the design process, when it comes to designing the new line each year, we do have to get together for that. That sort of is a you got to be together kind of thing. So we have a good many frequent flyer points, so we do a lot of that. We do a lot of Skype. My mom and I go back and forth because we're both designing patterns. My mom does the quilt patterns. I'm looking into some bag patterns, so if I have a sewing question or some kind of technique, I'll, you know, Skype in and show her my sewing machine and what's up, and we sort of make use of technology since there's so much distance.
I know. Isn't it wonderful that you can actually be doing something and the other person can watch you now? I mean, amazing.
Right, yeah. No, I couldn't live without it. So.
Oh, Yeah, incredible, incredible. To describe your fabric lines a little bit for people who haven't seen them yet.
Well, we like really, I think my mom was telling me the best way to describe our color scheme is sort of, it's more modern, I guess. It's very, we've got some pastel colors in there. We like a lot of florals. Most all of our lines have been a floral theme. And my sister, one of the favorite things she likes to do, and I also love that they have this in each line, but there's little things that you find in our main prints, like little snails, little birdhouses, flower rows, just all kinds of, little I spy kind of things. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, it's pretty delicate, and yeah, like I said, we really like florals. So,
what is the newest line that you have out right now? Which is it?
The newest line is Birds and Berries. Okay. And that actually, I think that just got released to retail stores this month. So you should be able to find it at your local quilt shop now, which is exciting.
Yeah, and it's got teals and beautiful green and a coral, sort of an orangey, peachy.
Yes, and a purple. I love that purple.
Oh, and the purple. Oh, my gosh. It's like a little bit dusty, but it's gorgeous, gorgeous purple.
Yeah, that's my favorite wide. I've made so many pillows and purses and things out of that purple main print. I love it. It's great. So,
now, you and I were talking, Carrie, a little bit about fusible applique because we both love it so much. Tell me a little bit about, yeah, it's instant gratification, isn't it?
Of course, yeah. Yes. Now, in earlier chats, I love fusible interfacing. It's one of my favorite things to sew with. I, unfortunately, can't quilt very well. I try. It's just always, things are off. I don't know. So as you can imagine, hand applique doesn't really work so well for me, but I'm pretty good at my machine applique stitch. Mm-hmm. So when I go to do any kind of applique, whether it's for a pillow, bag, or even a quilt I'm trying to work on, it just makes it so much easier with all of the fusible products I can use to stabilize things and make my applique actually look good. So... yeah, I also like it for bags, too. It's just sort of adds a whole new world to what quilt fabric can do. So,
and are you, what are you doing with your, are you making your bags really firm like some people carry, or do you have like sort of softer bags? What's sort of your preference for bag making?
I think I like some of the more firmer feels in bags. I also have learned to work with zippers and kind of like them now, so I mm-hmm. find that the fusible interfacing, the firmer it is, helps me mm-hmm. Add a zipper here and there a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just sort of like the look of it.
Yeah, I do too. I'm sort of leaning more towards firmer bags lately just because they keep the structure of the bag, don't they?
They do, yeah. I can make all kinds of totes and everything that just stand up nice and straight. And, works out pretty well.
Now, one of the absolutely adorable features you have on your website is the labels people can print. Tell me about those.
Yes, I love those. That was my sister's idea because, you spend all this time making a quilt because it's a very long and arduous process many times, and a lot of times you buy a matching line. So if you bought our line and, you just want a little something to match it, we've created lots of little, I know with the Hideaway line, we had a little bird to sort of match the bird theme that we used in one of the prints and things. So it just matches sort of nicely. A little something extra for your quilt to match. So.
Yeah, and they can find that on your website. It's actually on the front page down below, so they can click through to it. And you have a lot of different patterns that you've done to showcase each of the fabric lines. Tell me, do you have a favorite that you've done so far, that you would like to remake in all your fabrics, or is it always every time a new one you love?
Well, I have to say the petunia patch pattern that just came out with the Birds and Berries line has to be one of my favorites. Especially, like I said, I have limited quilting abilities. So that one's it's good for beginners. I feel like I can do that really well, and it's a good way to show off all of the different fabrics in the line. It's good for pre-cuts, things like that. So I think that one's my favorite. It's nice and colorful, allows you to use all the fabrics.
Right, and I love that it's set against the white because that new line of yours looks really fabulous against white.
Yeah, I think that white just really makes it pop a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. So do you guys teach? Do any of you teach? You're on three different places. And, you know, I know people love to have designers come and share, you know, even if it's lecturing. What do you guys do?
Well, we teach a little bit. My mom teaches at the local Quilt Guild, and she's also, I think, made it up to Inman, South Carolina a couple of times to teach at one of the shops up there. So she stays pretty local. I stay, I guess, local for the most part. One of my friends is an art teacher at Los Lunas High School here in New Mexico, and she was teaching. I make these hand-bound books with all of our fabric. She was teaching some of her students that. She had me drive up the road a little bit and help her out with that technique, and that was a lot of fun. The kids got a big kick out of it. They've been using them, she said, throughout the year, so that's been great. I teach mostly non-sewing kind of things. I think
right.
that book technique I'm pretty good at. So
that sounded really fabulous. So what was that? What did that look like? Was it actually like a bound book, like with an edge?
Well, they're hand sewn, I guess. Is the best way to describe it. So what we do, there's this stuff called book board, and you put a special glue on it to make it hard, and then it also is tacky, so when you put fabric on it, you can wrap the front and back with whatever fabric you want, and then, you just sew all the pages together. So it's a little, it's sort of labor-intensive, but in the end, it's really worth it. It makes a really great finished product, so we're hoping actually to make some kind of pattern out of that in the future to show everyone else how to do it. So.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think people would love that because people like to use their fabric in ways other than just quilting. You know, I think all of us have a need for just playing with our fabric. Don't you think so?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think it's great to use it in things like those books. I like using fabric in home deck projects, whether it's just, you know, stapling fabric to a canvas and making, wall hangings. Everything.
Wonderful, wonderful. Carrie, this has been incredible to have you on here. I just loved hearing how you all design and work together. A lot of interaction has to happen.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a lot of fun, though. And thank you so much for having me on the show today.
Well, I want to give your website, and again, it's Lauren and Jesse, JessiJungJung.com. That's all one word. You can go out and see Lauren, Carrie, and Jesse's fabrics and their patterns, and they even have some free patterns. Thank you, Carrie, to everybody that I really love their newest line.
Thank you, Pat.
We'll be back with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio in just a minute.
Boost your sewing skills from start to finish with daily tips from the editors of American Patchwork and Quilting. Visit tips.allpeoplequilt.com for inspiration.
Find a quilt shop near you that carries the latest issues of Quilt Sampler and Quilts and More magazines. Go to allpeoplequilt.com and click on Find a Shop.
Remember when there were lots of rules about working with fabrics for your quilts and it was only 100% cotton that we could use?
I do remember that, Jennifer.
Well, those days are gone. Thankfully, we have lots more choices for fabrics in our quilts these days. It's not just cotton. There are fabrics with lots of flair, and that's what we're going to talk about, Jill and I, today, is some of those alternatives to 100% cotton and some of the things that are important to know about using them in your quilts. And before we begin this discussion, just about specific fabric types, Jill, let's talk a little bit about combining fabrics in a quilt.
You know, it's okay now to combine.
That is right. The quilt police will not come to your house. You will not be arrested for mixing fabrics in a quilt. In fact, it's really encouraged. I'm seeing more and more patterns that have a combination of cottons with silks or linens or some of the plush fabrics that are out there.
And it just adds to the richness of your finished project. It adds texture. When you run your hand across the top and you go from one that's kind of velvety to one that's slick, it just feels good.
It absolutely does. And think about your own experience of going to a quilt shop And I always say it's a good thing they don't charge for touching the fabric, because I would be a poor woman every time I went in. But we all, as quilters, with such a tactile experience, and we want to touch the fabric, and that's exactly what you want the recipient of your quilt, whether it's your family, your friends, or some other gift recipient, you want them to just want to run their hands over that finished project and think, oh my gosh, she made this for me. So
I want them to wrap up in it and use it. I don't ever want a quilt to be saved for good.
Exactly.
Today is good enough.
Exactly. Every day is a great day to use a quilt. So, Jill, let's talk about some of the alternatives to cotton, or to 100% quilter's cotton, per se. Probably the closest cousin to that I think of as being flannel. And flannel is just a napped fabric. It's just a special combing or brushing process in creating the fabric that creates that nap that we all know as the feeling of flannel. And there are a few things. If you like the feel of flannel, it's obviously a little heavier weight to the hand as you're touching it. And also, for some quilters, flannel isn't just used on the outside of the quilt. I have seen quilters who will use it for a summer weight quilt, a picnic throw, use the flannel as the lining.
I find a wonderful thing about using it as the lining is that, generally speaking, flannel is more loosely woven than other fabrics or other cottons that we're accustomed to using for quilting. So when you wash it and you dry it, it shrinks up and it gets cuddly. And within a couple of washings and dryings, all of a sudden it looks like an antique quilt because it's all puckered and wonderful.
Exactly. Now, when you're sewing with flannel, one thing to keep in mind is you might want to change your standard needle size, which might be a 75 or 80 needle for your machine. You might want to go up to a 90-14 when you're sewing with flannel, just to make sure that your needle point lasts a little bit longer. But I think flannel is a great option, and if you haven't worked with it, another thing to keep in mind is sometimes if you're making triangle squares, for example, you might want to cut your pieces a little bit larger and then trim them down. Sometimes flannel can take up a little bit more in the seam. You'll lose a little bit, even if you're used to using your standard quarter inch. Just the turn of cloth is a little bit different than standard quilter's cotton. So it can be a good idea to make your pieces a little larger. You also might not want to choose a pattern when you're using flannel that has really tiny pieces for the same reason. Sometimes the turn of cloth isn't quite the same as you're used to from standard cotton.
I like to use flannel when I'm doing strip piecing too, so I can sew large pieces together, then subcut them into units. It's just that much less manipulation of each individual piece.
Exactly.
You know, another cotton fabric that I love is voile or lawn. And voile is spelled V-O-I-L-E, kind of a strange word. But it's a lighter weight, almost ethereal sort of cotton. If you think about a picnic, an outdoor picnic in England, and the lovely blowy dresses that the women would be wearing, that's a description of lawn or voile.
I think of it sort of as those peasant blouses.
Yes.
From the 70s. Yes. Were often made of that. And I think there is absolutely nothing more delicious than a quilt made of these. And years ago, you would have never seen them used in quilting. But now, there are just some luscious prints being introduced by fabric manufacturers in this arena.
There are. And fun to sew with.
And I think it also results in sort of a different feeling of the finished quilt. If you want something that's really drapeable, that you can wrap around your shoulders. Sometimes when we finish a quilt, especially if you're not washing it in the machine and drying it and sort of breaking down the fibers of the batting and the cotton, if it has a lot of sizing or starch in it, you can end up with a quilt that's sort of stiff. It looks more like a cape or a teepee around your shoulders than a soft blouse would. But I think if you're making a quilt out of cotton, lawn, or voile, you really have that drapeable. I mean, it just hugs you as you wrap it around
from the very beginning.
Is there anything special that we need to tell people about, Jill, in terms of cutting out lawns or voiles? Are they a little bit more prone to shredding, do you think?
A little bit more. I'd only cut and sew a few pieces at a time, just to ward off any extra unraveling.
Right. Handle it as little as possible before you seam it together. Mm-hmm. And I would suggest, too, maybe using a little bit smaller or on the closer side stitch length.
Absolutely.
The weave sometimes tends to be a little bit looser, and just to secure things and to prevent, you know, shredding things, maybe just tighten up your stitch length slightly.
Good idea.
So let's talk about the opposite of lawn or voile. The next category of fabric I want to talk about are plush fabrics. And you might know these under some brand names such as Cuddle or Minky or things like that, and are so soft. And these are those deliciously soft knits that are acrylic blends for the most part. And you find them a lot in quilt shops in the baby room. They come sometimes with texture added to them, a swirl design, maybe a raised or embossed dot on them. They just come in wonderful, wonderful colors. And the first time I was really introduced to these, it was when people were doing the tie blankets. And the nice thing about knits or plush fabrics is they don't ravel, per se. Right. So you can cut them, tie the knot, and tie them together. And they're in a lot of ready-to-wear stores for babies. But it's great now that you can find them widely available in quilt shops. And I think the thing that people overlook is that you can treat them just like you would any other fabric when you're combining them in a quilt. Now, I use plush fabrics often as the backside of a 100% cotton quilt on the front. And I still use batting in there, but it adds sort of a sculptured appearance to the back of the quilt when I'm finished with it. There are a few care things you need to keep in mind, though. When you're using plush fabrics, you can't steam them because they are an acrylic, you can't press them because they are an acrylic, and you don't want to melt the fabric. You can, however, steam them. And do you want to describe that process a little, Jill?
Well, steaming, it's set your steam iron on the steam only and hold it above the fabric. And once you let the steam come full force into the fabric, it will feel kind of damp. Hold it in place until it cools off. That way your seam will stay either open or to one side, whichever way you want it to be. But it's that keeping it cool, keeping it in place until it cools off is the secret to pressing.
Right, and you want to do some finger pressing with plush fabric just to keep seams pointed in the right direction, and also increase your stitch length is another tip, because the fabric is thicker, the stitches are going to sink down into it, and use an even feed foot when you're stitching.
Absolutely, that makes a big difference. So both layers of fabric are being fed under the needle at exactly the same time.
All right.
Batiks.
Love them.
Never met one I didn't like, but you know, they have a higher thread count than other cottons. And I like to use a sharp needle. And of course you say, well, who would use a dull needle? Well, when you buy machine needles, there are sharps, just as there are ballpoint needles. So look for the sharp on the label and use like a 70-10 needle, so it will penetrate instead of pushing the threads aside. When the needle goes through the fabrics, it will pierce the fabrics.
Exactly. Now, there are other specialty fabrics, and I just really have fun experimenting with them when I find them in my local quilt shop. Oil cloth or vinyl-coated fabrics are one. Can you share a couple tips for working with that?
Don't use pins. Use scotch tape, cellophane tape to hold the layers together. Pin marks are permanent, so you'll want to use tape to hold your layers together, and then use a roller presser foot so that both the layers will roll under the machine. A little longer stitch than usual will give you more success, too.
Great idea. I've also had fun sewing on chalkboard fabric. I think that's a great new addition to my sewing arsenal. And there are a few tips that come with that kind of fabric when you buy it. First and foremost, you want to roll the fabric, not fold it, because crease marks can be permanent. And then you also season it just by running a stick of chalk across it on its side. So just like seasoning a skillet, you season your chalkboard fabric before you write on it. And really, it's kind of like sewing with an oilcloth or a vinyl. After that, those same rules apply.
And you use regular chalk?
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Or you can use a chalk pen. They even make chalk pens now that will work on chalkboard fabric, and they give you a little bit denser color when you're writing on it. and wipe off just as easily as it would on a regular chalkboard.
You know, the local thrift store has great fabrics that you can use, too, if you run out of options.
They absolutely do. I think the only thing to remember if you're using old clothing as your fabric is you want to take care of it ahead of time. And if you're going to pre-wash or pre-treat it, cut it apart from the garment so that it lays flat and shrinks evenly or felts evenly if you're working with wool fabric. And that way you'll get better results and you'll be happier. You won't have twisted fibers and things in your finished project. I hope you've got great information here today as Jill and I have talked about different fabric types that you can incorporate into your quilts. And remember, the quilting police aren't coming for you if you mix those things up in your next quilt project. So whether you're working on a crazy quilt, an I Spy quilt, or just a lovely quilt that you want someone to wrap up in, consider all the options available at your local quilt shop, because there are some that are awesome to work with, have a great feel and texture to them, and you'll love wrapping up.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Isn't it always fun to hear the editors at American Patchwork and Quilting tell us some of their tips and tricks? I just love when they do a segment and we can include it in the show to get all of their inside scoop. Now we are going to go on and talk to Anila Hoy, who just has the most amazing fabrics and stitcheries and patterns. I just love her work, love her designs. They're fresh, they're dainty, they're very, very sweet. And Anila is going to tell us a little bit about her fabric lines and her newest book. So how you doing, Anila?
Hi, Pat. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Yeah.
How are you?
I am great. I am great. You know, you have been drawing your designs for a long time. You know, how long has it been?
Since I was in school, since I was a little girl, I've always been drawing and sketching. I've always been creative. The design side, probably about 15 years, I've been sort of designing on and off.
Yeah, they're just so sweet. I just love them to death. You know, you in school had a you live in England, right?
Yes.
Yes. And in school, didn't you have some sort of program where you had to do embroidery for credit or class?
We'd learn embroidery at quite a young age. Well, we did then. Mm-hmm. We used to do needlework in school. I remember doing needlework when I was about 8 in school. That's probably when I learned. And we used to learn the different stitches and make them into little embroideries. So I used to really enjoy that.
Wow. They don't do that anymore in your school system?
Well, my eldest daughter is 12. She hasn't mm-hmm. done much. I think it has changed quite a lot. They try and incorporate lots more different subjects. Mm-hmm. In those days, it used to be probably a little bit more traditional. Mm-hmm, with mm-hmm. boys probably did metalwork and woodwork and girls did needlework and cookery. You can't get away.
I know. So tell me a little bit about your fabric lines and you know, how you go. What is your latest one?
My newest one that's just coming out now is So Stitchy, mm-hmm. which ships in August, so we're kind of days away from it arriving in shops, the yardage. Mm-hmm. Very excited about this one because I've developed the designs more so that they will be, they're smaller to medium scale. They're more tossed, more all over rather than directional prints, which quite a few of mine have been up until now. Mm-hmm. So this is quite a different look for me. All the prints are like that except for the panel. There's a panel which is perfect for fussy cutting, but the remainder of the prints are all over, very tossed, so you can just cut them whichever way. So they're perfect for fabric or, you know, for piecing, mm-hmm. even small pieces. You get lots of tiny little details, even in the smallest, you know, 1-inch piece squares or whatever, that kind of size. So, yeah, very different for me in that respect. Similar in color, but...
Right. The colors are sort of aquas and pinks and reds. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, and there's light and dark tones in this collection, which I really like as well. There's very pale pinks mm-hmm. and brighter pinks, very pale blue, and then, you know, an aqua. So when you're doing a tonal kind of, you know, to use that in your quilt as well, the value is you can play around with it a lot more as well.
How do you go about, you know, developing your fabric line? Do you use a mood board or, you know, do you do just a lot of sketches?
I start with sketches. I don't have a mood board because I design in my front room, so I don't like it to really look like an office. It's got to look like a front room. With Soul Stitchy, the design ideas actually started off when I was doing the illustrations for my book, because all the how-to illustrations, all the patterns I drew, and I was in that kind of zone. So I thought this would be great for a fabric collection. So to begin with, I would just sketch out some quick ideas on, you know, in a sketchbook. And then I scan those sketches. They're just doodles, very, very loose, fluid ideas. I scan those into my computer, and then I open those files up in Illustrator, and I start tracing them. So I just use them as a template, and I actually draw them up in Illustrator. And at this point, they're still ideas. So I'm just doing little doodles, and I'm playing around, and I'm turning it into, you know, a graphic, and then see where it goes. So for the first few, I might be just playing, and it just still looks very much like a sketchbook, but on Illustrator. And then out of that come little ideas. Oh, yeah, the pins look good there. I'll scatter those and make that into a print. So, yeah, just taking little elements and taking elements from one and reusing it in another. So that's how I normally go about things.
I think that sounds fascinating, you know, because everybody works so differently.
Yeah. Yeah. And very. I think that's what makes our work all different, isn't it, as well? Because your process is always different from somebody else's.
And so true.
Yeah.
Now, tell me about the book, because I am so excited. It's called... Little Stitches, right?
Yes.
From C&T, and it is just a gorgeous book.
C&T have done an absolutely amazing job, really, because I just think they've really got me. They've got my style, the photography, the setting of the book is just beautiful, and I've just got the book I wanted. We've been working hard towards this for about the last 2.5 years in total since I first started developing the ideas.
Wow.
So it's been a long process.
Yeah.
With every second. There's been a lot of work going into this book. Really,
oh my
really
goodness.
Labor of love.
And you have included all kinds of stitches, loads and loads of patterns. But I love the different variety of stitches. One of my favorites is shown on the inside, where you have a line, but then you like go over it with another color. So
yes.
It makes like little dashes. That is so cool. What is that called?
It's called couching stitch. It's a very traditional stitch. I didn't invent it, but I think I really play with that stitch quite a lot. And it was one of the stitches I did a class at the Fat Quarterly Retreat in June in London. Mm-hmm. And I taught that stitch in the embroidery I did. And everybody was like, oh, my God, I love this stitch. I've never seen it before. But, yeah, I use couching stitch all the time. I love that stitch. And this was a good way of me really highlighting those kind of stitches that I really enjoy making that can really add texture and interest to your embroidery. But yeah, it does take a little bit of getting used to, but once you discover it, you can play away with that kind of stitch and use it in all different ways. So.
And you also do some things where you actually fill in the whole design with your embroidery. And so it's very dents. What is that called?
They're filling stitches, and I do those in, you know, in different stitches. A lot of them in back stitch I use, and split stitch. You know, you can use any stitch to fill. And some of them in the book, I've done some very dense, and I've done some a bit loose and more scattered. And I've used different stitches, and I've highlighted different ways in which you can use that method in the book, because that's kind of a key signature look of mine. Mm-hmm. So the book kind of focuses on that. But, you know, you can choose to use filling stitches, or you can just outline. It's up to you how you do, you know, how you use the book.
Right. And you have all kinds of ideas in there to help people walk through the options.
Yeah. I mean, since I've been doing my embroideries and since I've been in designing for Moda, I've constantly had this stream of emails of people asking me how to do my embroideries. And it's not usually something you can answer very quickly. So when I wrote the book, those were the kind of answers I was setting out to show people.
Right,
and I mean, it's good that people do email me, because it gives me an insight into what they want to know.
Gives you your next book idea, Neela. That's you'll have that right away. That's where were all those emails, all those questions?
I are constantly, just my email is full of questions like that. So, and you know, I wish I had time to answer them all individually, but they're so specific and they're not easy to answer in a sentence, and you need pictures. So this book is going to answer that and let people know how to do it.
That's right. They can all get the book, and they can have you sit with them in their house in the book. So it'll be perfect.
That's the experience they're going to get.
Do you have like a top tip for people sort of just starting out with embroidery? What would be something you want them to know?
Well, if they like my kind of work with the filling stitches, I would say you can use sewing needles when you embroider, but it's a lot easier when you do the filling stitches if you go out and get embroidery needles. Mm-hmm. They're not any more expensive, but they have a longer eye, so you can get the floss through easier if you're using, you know, the thick 6 strands of floss. And it just, they seem finer, that you can put them through the fabric easier, especially when you have a few stitches already there. So I would say go get some embroidery needles. They will make a difference.
That's the key. Yeah,
exactly. That's it. Do that. Try that.
Do you back your embroidery when you're working? You know, like put something behind it like some people do?
I should probably say yes. I've never done that. I don't have time because I just move on to the next. The backs probably aren't amazing. If you ever see one of my embroideries, never turn it to the back, because you might get distracted.
Well, just make it into something so nobody can see the back. It's like, that's like you.
Hide it away, yeah.
So you also have something coming out in another book called Sweet Celebrations from the Moda Bake Shop.
Yep, very exciting.
So what kind of project is that one? Can you give us a little hint?
I've done a double project for that, two coordinating items, which is a table cover and a floor rug for a young girl. I use a walk in the woods for that, because that had I just had yardage of that when we were doing the projects for the book. Mm-hmm. And it uses Dresdens, which I was going through a bit of a Dresden phase last year. So, yeah, more Dresdens, but different to other Dresden projects I might have done.
Ah, well, that's good. That's good. We like Dresdens, and I love the sort of big double one that you have.
The bloom pattern.
Yes. Tell me about that. Is that hard to do? I mean, it's very effective. It's like huge.
Yeah. Well, what happened with bloom was when I was doing these projects for the Moda Bake Shop book, there's two different size Dresdens that I was using, which are used separately. But while I was making them, they fell on top of each other, and I started playing around and thought, ooh, that looks good. And obviously I was just making that project, so I made that, handed it in. And then I really wanted to play with that idea a bit more. So I made a cushion, and the cushion went with me to market, and it ended up on the front cover of the Quilts and More Better Homes and Gardens one-off magazine, also in spring. And then I, over Christmas, I got this crazy idea to develop this into a quilt. So instead of doing a double layer, I wanted to do three or four layers. And most of Christmas, you know, when you get an idea in your head and you just need to do it, mm-hmm. I spent drawing up these templates. I was taping all these pieces of paper together and like mocking it all up and seeing how far and how wide I had to go and how thin the templates had to be and how many I had to do to join them together.
Oh.
My husband and my kids were just looking at me like, what are you doing? So once I got that, got the templates, and then I tried it out, and it all luckily worked. So it's very interesting pattern to do.
Well, I really love it. I mean, I haven't really gotten that Dresden bug, but it's floating around in my head, you know, that I need to do a Dresden. I really loved how that double one, it's just very effective.
You need to do one. But I've seen so many lovely versions of it as well, because there was my version and then other people have made it. And that's what I really love about patterns, is seeing what other people, where other people take that pattern and you think, oh, I wish I'd done that. Mm-hmm. So that's just, wonderful.
It is. I think the best thing is seeing what other people do with our designs. You know, how does it change it up? It's so cool.
Every version I've seen, I've just loved. So, yeah, that's a great thing. Worth all those hours of taping pieces of paper together.
Exactly. Anila, tell us your website.
It's Comfort Stitching. So it's HTTP and it's comfortstitching.typepad.co.uk.
Remember to do the co.uk on the end. So, Anila, this has been just wonderful to have you on the show.
Yeah, thank you, Pat. It's been lovely talking to you again.
So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. Join us next week when we come back with a whole new show. Visit us at Facebook, Twitter, and at our website, allpeoplequilt.com. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. See you next week.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.